Live, brought to you from the Eternal Word Television Studios in Birmingham, Alabama.
Of Jesus.
The most glorious work of all, to praise God in his kingdom.
Moved by the Spirit.
Anyone who lives in love lives in God. And God lives in him.
What a wonderful thing is our church. This whole network is built on trust. The essence of evangelization is to tell everybody Jesus loves you. We are all called to be great saints. Don't miss the opportunity.
Well, welcome. If my veil seems suddenly to sprout out and cover my face tonight, it's because I was very unmortified this afternoon. I passed this place and we're coming into Birmingham and I love cappuccino. And I figured, you know, if I had a glass of cappuccino, I would be just very happy and I'd get rid of this headache. So we went in and I got it. And when I said, oh, brother, this is so good, I went like this, but it wasn't going in my mouth. It was all the way down. And brother's looking at me and laughing, and I said, oh, no. I didn't really need this cup, you know. I not only had the cup, I got this collar all messed up. My habit was full of coffee. So the sad story is that I took all the pins out of my veil. And any minute, in the middle of this whole program, it may just fold out. So if suddenly I become obliterated from the screen, then you know exactly what happened. It was not an act of God, it was an act of Angelica, who couldn't wait to get her cappuccino. So here we are, no matter how we look. So now, I just want to talk to you tonight about the Psalms. I don't think Catholics should read the Psalms. Y'all read the Psalms? Yeah? Well, the Psalms are beautiful prayers that so often we miss. And this is one of my favorite Psalms. And I'd just like to go over it with you tonight and just kind of have a praying time just to give our souls that peace that no one else can give. No one else but God. If you don't have peace in your soul tonight, why don't you kneel down and ask why? Why? Say, well, I got a lot of troubles. Yeah, we all do. It's because we do not see Jesus in everything. We don't see the Father or the Son or the Holy Spirit. And so, I'm going to read you a psalm, and then we'll comment on it. This is Psalm 139. And sometimes we get so accustomed to praying for things, don't you? First thing you ask, hello, Jesus, I need this. I need that. And then we go our way. See, I don't think your mom and dad would like you to do that. If you got up in the morning and said, Mom, I need a clean shirt, see you tonight. Then you'd come back and say, I need this, I need that. She'd get kind of tired, and so would you. See, so I would like to praise God tonight. I'd like you to listen and follow me and get yourself in a position where don't think of anything tonight. I don't want you to think of anything. I don't want you to think of your problems, your aches, your pains, nothing. Just pretend you're all by yourself and you're talking to God. All by yourself. Just try that. And I'm going to repeat these and kind of make a little commentary on it. It says, Yahweh, you examine me and know me. You know when I'm standing and when I'm sitting. Now, can you imagine that? You don't pay attention to anybody that's standing or sitting. You're just happy they're there and quiet. But he knows. And it's such a little thing. You know, you examine me and know me. Some of you don't think God knows you. You're not a surprise to God. He decided you would be before time began. You read my thoughts from far away. Wow. You know, that happened too. When our Lord called one of the apostles, Nathaniel, I think, and he said to the other apostle, he said, here's a man without guile. And he heard him and he said, how do you know me? And Jesus looked at him and said, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Wow. I want you to think of that. When you walked in your living room and sat in that chair or that sofa, God knew you did it and saw you do it. I mean, that's the kind of attention you get from God. So all this sin that you commit in the dark, you ain't hiding from anybody. And especially God. You could rob a safe in the dark, but it's as bright as the noonday sun to him. Because it says here, you read my thoughts from far away. Whether I walk or lie down, you are watching. Whether all you people feel lonesome in apartment houses, listen to that, huh? You know every detail of my conduct. No secrets from God. You know, sometimes you come home from work and you're tired and you think, well, I'll just lie down on the sofa for a few minutes and rest. He sees you, he knows you, and he loves you. See, we don't have that kind of love, do we? We don't have the kind of love that loves everything a person does that's good, and sorry for everything a person does that's not too good. We don't have that kind of love, neither could we, because we don't have that attention. You can't give your attention to more than one thing at a time. You can't. And so we can't love like God loves. And that's why it's, to me, it's so ungrateful for all of us to ignore this awesome God that knows all of these things about me with love in his heart. Oh, my golly. It says, a word is not even on my tongue before you know all about it. Oh, do you ever say something fast you just wanted to bite your tongue afterwards? No? You ever do that? I mean, you just thought, oh, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Yeah, we all do. One time a woman asked me if I liked her hat, this years ago when they wore hats. And before I could think, I said, oh, I think it's ugly. I wanted to bite my tongue because I could have said, just anything. But ugly, but it came, I was thinking ugly, see? And I said it, what a terrible thing. But see, God, he knows. It's not even on my tongue and he knows it. They make you feel uneasy? Good. Yahweh, before you know all about it, close behind and close in front, you fence me round. Oh, wow. To know, if we knew this one little truth about God, you'd never be lonely again. He fences me in. He's in front of me, he's in back of me, he's beside me. See, these kind of truths about what we call attributes of God. This is who God is. He doesn't possess these things, he is these things. God is love, and we possess love. God is goodness, and we possess goodness. God is merciful. We possess mercy, but see, God is all of it, all of it. And it says, you shield me with your hand. It's like many times in our lives, and we don't know it. One day we will. When something is going to happen to you, and God put his hand there, shielded you. He shielded you, but you didn't know it. And we need to thank God for that. We need to thank God for all the things that he does for us that we don't know. I remember one time after my spinal operation, this is so many years, I forget. And this woman was shaking me for some treatments. And she was talking, and the hospital was here, and we're here. And she's about to turn into the hospital, and all of a sudden, in front of me, on this side where I was, passenger seat, was the radiator of a big bus. I could feel the heat, because she didn't look on the side of her when she started turning. That bus driver turned so fast and went up on the sidewalk. That's the only way I was saved. We'd have both been killed. Run over by a bus. But see, God set his hand there. And that's happened to all of you at some point in your life. May not have been a car, may not have been a bus. Maybe it was just something or someone. And it says here, shielding me with your hand, such knowledge is beyond my understanding. A height to which my mind cannot attain. See, God's love for you, that's why you gotta be good. You can't offend somebody that loves you this much. See, we can't do that. We gotta stop offending God. You know, this is not right. It's just ungrateful. See, these two paragraphs, if you memorized them or just read them often, you would know how much he loves you. And you would never want to offend him. See, we offend God like he was nothing. We don't keep the commandments. We lie and cheat. We do, not everybody, but enough souls that are in danger. But see, if you know this, and then the psalmist says, where could I go to escape your spirit? Nowhere. But isn't it wonderful to have somebody that loves you that much always present? He's not going on vacations. He's not going to leave you. He's never let you down. He's always there. And the psalmist says, where can I go? Where could I flee from your presence? You know, when I was a young sister, I was kind of ornery. Well, I still am, I guess. And Reverend Mother was teaching us how to meditate, you know. And she said, you place yourself in the presence of God. And I would think to myself, well, I can't get out of his presence. He's everywhere. The smart novice said, suddenly entered the order and knew all these things. It was stupid, you know, really stupid. But it's true. Where can I go from his presence? You can't. See, if we knew these little things, even though we may be alone and even though people abandon us and your children don't pay attention to you, you have God. You have God. And it says, if I climb the heavens, you are there. And there too, if I lie in Sheol, everywhere. Nothing would exist. If God were to stop thinking of me at this moment, you would see a great big grease spot on this chair. That's what you'd see. He has to think of you every moment for you to exist. You say, well, why are you telling us all that? Because I want you to know God. I want you to know His love. This is a great psalm. If I flew to the point of sunrise, did you ever want to do that? Huh? Did you ever see the sunrise? Well, you sure have, I hope. Too many people don't. They're grouchy when they get up. They're mad they have to go to work. And they're looking at the clock. Nobody looked at the sunrise. But this man said, if I flew to the point of the sunrise or westward across the sea, your hand would still be guiding me and your right hand holding me. Isn't that awful? If you could, wouldn't that be wonderful if you could think of that first thing in the morning? I bet you wouldn't want to tell me your thoughts first thing in the morning. But see, you have an opportunity to speak to God first thing in the morning. If I ask darkness to cover me and light become night around me, that darkness would not be dark to you, Lord Yahweh. And night would be as light as day. Oh, what a mind this man had. What a mind. That he not only could plumb the depths of the beauty and the existence of God and God's love, but that penetrated his mind, you see? Penetrated his mind and allowed him to ask these kind of questions and to come to these conclusions. But for you and I, we're just too busy for God. Too busy about things that pass, may never come back again. Too busy. And now let's see what else he says. It was you who created my innermost self. You know, one of the saddest moments of my life, I've had a lot of sad moments, but this was not so much the kind of sadness you have when something happens or is disappointing. But this woman came. She had the most beautiful little girl. I don't know about ages, but oh, she was maybe this tall, just a little tight, blue eyes and blonde hair and the most beautiful smile. And I said, oh, what a beautiful smile. I said, I didn't know you had a young daughter. That woman looked at me and said, she was an accident. I looked at that young girl, that young, young little girl. She put her head down. I thought, what a terrible, terrible, terrible thing to say to a child. Oh, she was an accident. You see how cruel we get? How cruel we are? Isn't that terrible? I've often wondered what happened to that little girl. Maybe she's listening, who knows? I'm sure she never forgot what her mother said. The worst of verbal abuse, the worst. Then when you compare all that the psalmist says about the Lord God loving you, thinking of you, creating you, You created my inmost self. That's not an accident. Not an accident. And you put me together in my mother's womb. Did you hear that? All you pro-abortionists, did you hear that? Did you hear that that knife and that salt water hits the Lord God Himself, who is putting that child together? Do you hear that? And you argue, when does life begin? Oh, we're in trouble. No. For all these mysteries, I thank you. For the wonder of myself, for the wonder of your works. There would never be another abortion clinic. There would never be arguing and making it a law. To be able to tear apart a child God is putting together. Oh, please, all of you, think what you're doing. Think. Think. You can't do that. Then don't be wondering. Don't be wondering when things begin to go wrong, because they will. We cannot treat God like that. We can't interfere. You ought to take your Bible, and if you don't have one, buy one. Most important book you need right now in these days. Let's go on and see. No, yeah, here's some more here. It says, you know me through and through. Why? Why does God know you through and through? You want to know why? From having watched my bones take shape. Oh, what a horrible, horrible, horrible thing abortion has to be. How horrible. You know me through and through for having watched my bones take shape. And when I was being formed in secret, knitted together in the limbo of my mother's womb. Oh. Isn't that the most awesome paragraph? You know, doctors are running through their doctor books to see, when does life begin? Oh, how we hedge and hem and haw. We don't like God's way of doing things. So that if you can decide this point, there's nothing but a little plasm here, we just take it out. No, you don't. You know me through and through. For having watched my bones take shape. When I was being formed in secret, knitted together in the limbo of my mother's womb, you had scrutinized my every action. You know how babies kick and move? He scrutinized. All were recorded in your book. Just imagine this book, and God looking at your little body being formed, and you kicked, and He says, one kick from Susie. One little kick from John. Scrutinized. Oh, my days were listed and determined. Oh, now here comes euthanasia. This one's too old, we won't give them medicine. Too expensive. Hmm. My days were listed then, when he was watching my bones knit together. And I don't give a hoot what doctor says anything different. We can't help your ignorance of God and his ways. But you better sharpen up, because that's the way it is. Look here. All my days were recorded in your book. My days listed, how many? And determined, even before the first of them occurred. Listen to what it says. Before you were born, as you were coming out of your mother's womb, God began to list your days before that. What do they do today? Partial birth abortion. Put a scissors or a knife in the back of that little child's head and suck out his brains. Oh, don't you worry about earthquakes and tornadoes at all. When humanity does that, I guarantee, the Lord Yahweh, who knows all things, will not stand for it very long. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know what we're doing. Before God determined, even before first of the one of them occurred, you shut it off. Do you know what you're doing? God has determined this shall be. God has determined what his eyes are like and what color and his hair. God has determined his personality. God has determined the whole thing and determined how many days he would live and the moment he would die. And you say no. Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. See, I really don't feel we know. I used to wonder, why did our dear Lord forgive all of his persecutors and then excuse them? Father, they don't know what they do. Well, it's true. It's true. We don't know what we do. But woe to all of us who were supposed to teach you and didn't. Woe to us. Now, here's what else it says. God, how hard it is to grasp your thoughts. How impossible to count them. I could no more count them than I could count the sand. I can't count the thoughts of God. I can't, like a little worm in an apple, pick up my head and say, God, you can't do this and you can't do that. And the author says, suppose I could. You would still be with me. God, examine me and know my heart. Probe me and know my thoughts. Make sure I do not follow pernicious ways, that I do not believe the great lies that are told to all humanity today. And guide me in the way that is everlasting, everlasting. this song should be in every home today, because life is such small value. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Well, there's a little thing missing here. Tomorrow you're judged. That's what's missing. And you see, I think that's why Our Lady cries and these statues cry, and I suppose some of them are a little bit fakey, but not all of them. Why do statues cry? Why? They don't understand how we can be so cruel to the God who created us, loved us, knew us before time began, knows before a thought is on my tongue, knows when I sit and when I stand, watches over me as a loving mother, loves me, forgives me, has compassion towards me. How? A God who sent his Son to suffer such a terrible death and rise from the dead when he rose to save me. All of that and much, much more. How can we offend him? I think that's why they cry. How? You know, we've had Christianity 2001 years. When you look at the past, and all the good and evil, when you look at our Lord's resurrection and life and so beautiful in the gospel and all, you just have to wonder, why? Maybe it's because we're so gullible. You know, we don't think, do we? We don't look at a psalm and go over it and pray. We're just little puppets, you know, guided by groups in New York and Chicago and California and all these other strange countries and places that all make decisions what you're going to wear next year. This year everybody wears brown. Okay, everybody wears brown. This year you color part of your hair green and the other part yellow. Everybody goes for green and yellow. This year we wear shoes that have 5 inches of heels and no toes. So we all wear heels 5 inches high and no toes. We're just gullible. I know why our Lord called us sheep. They're dumb and smelly. I mean, we just don't catch on. We don't catch on. So I just want you to read. Buy a Bible. Buy a book of Psalms. This book I've had since I was a novice. How many years ago? I can't even remember. 55, 56. Still a good book. Buy one just for Psalm 139. 139. If you're having doubt tonight about having an abortion, would you read this psalm first, please? If you're thinking of it, would you just once, just read this psalm. 139. That's all I'm asking you. Read this psalm. Would be a terrible thing to destroy a baby that God decided should be. I have a call. Hello? Hi.
Hi, Mother.
Yes,
My name is Kathy.
Yes.
And I'm from Pennsylvania. And my mother died about 2 months ago.
Uh-huh.
And I'm very despondent and in despair over her death. I can't accept it because she was the joy of my life, and we were always together, and I was her caregiver, and I can't forgive myself. I feel like I could have done more for her, and I blame myself for her death, and God forgive me, actually blaming God for taking her from me. And my question is,
Why do you blame yourself for her death, honey?
Because I felt I could have done so much more for her. I did the best I could for her, but I just sit and dwell and think of what I could have done.
Yeah.
And I can't forgive myself for that, and I also blame God for taking her from me, and I'm ashamed of that. I'm losing my faith, and my question is, do you have any recommendations on how I could regain my faith and try to forgive myself for some of the thoughts I have?
Well, sweetheart, in the first place, I don't think anyone you love died that you don't blame yourself for something. You know, that's a common, ordinary thing that happens to all of us. You always wish, well, I wish I would have done this. I wish we would. See, this is because we forget this psalm here. When it says, He decides when you live and when you die. Your mother was created by God. She bore you. She had a time to live. That's common to every human being who has ever created. There is also a time we must go home. And so, sweetheart, there's nothing we can do about that because we're going to a better place. See? If you could see where your mother is, if she's in heaven at this point, even if she were in purgatory, she's happier. Why? Because she has seen God. And that joy is so awesome. See? And that's why you have to stop thinking of yourself and your loneliness. You did your mother well. And now she's with her God, as you will be, and I will be, and every one of us will be. You see, God does not create figments of wind and imagination. When He decides to create, there's a human being there that has a destiny, a time to live, a time to die. And that determines her happiness in heaven. See? The amount of love she had and all the trials she bore with patience are all there waiting for as a crown of glory, everlasting glory. You have to think of truth, you see, and it's a little hard. You know, you can't get over somebody's death like that. You can't. But neither can you lose your faith in the Lord God Yahweh. See? You have to protect your faith by believing and understanding the truth. And what is the truth? The truth is your mother is happy. No more pain. No more suffering. No more worry. No more frustration. No more tears. She has seen God. And it's the fulfillment of our whole existence. See? So you have to think of the truth. See, faith is not a figment of imagination. It's an assent to truth. That's what's wrong with the world today. We don't want the truth. We want half-truths, fakey truth. We want anything that makes me want to do what I want to do. But don't, no, please. Don't lose your faith. You want to be with your mother in heaven one day. And don't blame God. He created her out of nothing. Put her together in her mother's womb, as He put you together in her womb. And had a place for her in His kingdom. So because you love your mother, you want to talk to her and pray to her and pray for her,
But most of all, rejoice that she has found real, true, everlasting happiness. Nothing can ever take it away. Now, if you think of that, because it's true, then you feel better. We have another call. Hello?
Hi. Hello, Mother.
Where are you from?
South Carolina.
And what's your question? What's your question?
How do you get closer to God and feel His presence? I don't know if my faith is weak or doing it right or what.
We all hope we're doing it right. However, see, you cannot get out of His presence. That's why I read this psalm tonight. See, God is always present to us. Always. We are not present to Him always. Why? Well, we're busy. We got a lot of things to do. We get distracted by the world, by politics, by food, by education, the whole bit. We just go around in like a whirling dervish, you know? So it's very difficult for us to concentrate on God, but we must, that's what prayer is for. Now, in our poor human nature, especially as you get older, you got an ache, a new ache every morning, a new pain every night. All the young ones get on your nerves, and all the old ones are reminders that you're on your way also. So life in itself is pretty miserable. You see? So we can't kind of pull up some wonderful feelings about love. Love is not a feeling. That, do you ever wonder why all these girls and these boys, they're so in love and they go around this, that, and the other thing? And a month or two later, God, where did I marry him? Lord, where did I get her from? Why is that? You're just lovey-dovey 3 months ago. What happened? A car hit you? What? What happened? The feelings went. You can't go around feeling hotsy-totsy all the time. You get tired. You got to be normal and mature. Nobody can have a real happy, happy feeling all the time. You can't, you know, you just don't have it in you. You get tired sometimes. You know, you used to have fiestas and the Porciuncula. People would come from all over, make indulgence. I was smiling all day. My ears hurt. My ears move backwards when I smile. Don't ask me how, I don't know. But they do. If I smile, my ears just push right back. I don't know why, but my ears were hurting at night. See, we're not made just to be joyful and feel good. We're made to be human. And sometimes we feel good, and sometimes we feel God. But we don't have to worry at all when we don't feel God. You make yourself present to God through prayer, silence, helping your neighbor. You make God present to you by the same way. If you help somebody, there's a little thing in here that seems like, oh, that was wonderful. If you smile at someone that's depressed, that's talking to God. If you give somebody a cup of cold water, He sees it and rewards you. See, it's not a matter of feelings. If you have them, fine, rejoice. It's a matter of loving. And when you love someone, you're always present. Dryness now is not a failure. Dryness is 1 foot up on the ladder of holiness, because that's when you prove you love God for Himself and not for what He does for you. But He does everything for us, everything.
We can't move without His help. We can't. So I wouldn't worry about dryness. You know, we have little things going around. See, be kind to your neighbor today. Wonderful. Try being kind to God. Just say, I praise you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for my joys and my sorrows. I thank you for the times you said yes to me and the times you said no. I thank you for my life, and one day I shall thank you for my death. I thank you for loving me. I thank you for calling me. I thank you for your beauty, for your goodness, for your compassionate mercy towards me. I thank you for all you are, for all your attributes, your glory, your wonders, your goodness, your immensity, your majesty, your holiness. And I thank you because it's all mine. See? A little flower used to say that. Everything he has is mine, she'd say. And everything I have is his. You see, that's how we want to talk to God. I figure I don't like to gripe to him very much. I used to gripe to him when I was younger. Now I'm catching on. I'm catching on. He don't need my gripes. He needs my thanksgiving. He needs my love. He needs my compassion for his pain. Try that. Try that when you pray. I think that gives him honor and glory. It makes him feel good. And that's what we want to do, huh? And all over the world, where tragedy hits suddenly, and even for that, let us thank God. You say, well, that's pretty hard. Yeah. But remember, eternity is very, very long. And that's what you're here for. So we'll see you tomorrow night, and love God today.